ever beyond.
On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Wow, wow, wow. www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen is where you go to meet all the really cool peeps. We got some really, really cool peeps in the chat room tonight. So I want to give a big shout out to everybody there. We have people from all kinds of places and dimensions. Let's just leave it at that, shall we? My guest is also dimensionally, smashing, just amazing. We've been speaking for, well, as I said, I met you about 20 years ago and 21 years ago now. And I've just watched you just collect all the numbers and line it all up and say, look, here you go. The entire universe is frequency. So my guest tonight, Shari Edwards. Good evening, Shari. How are you?
Good evening. This is going to be fun.
Oh, it always is. Always is. So, yeah, you were saying, oh, I really like your theme tune. My, I have a dear friend who comes from the town of Manchester, but he actually plays the sitar and has a band which mixes reggae music and sitar and Indian classical music. And he's also switched on, into David Icke and all this stuff. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to, like, go out on the road and do little gigs with me doing lectures about, you know, the history of the universe and stuff and frequency. And he'll be doing, a few ragas.
That music will take him to the outer limits.
Absolutely. Ever beyond. Beyond Roadshow. Why not? I just need a fan with a van.
I love it.
So, how cool is your fabulous life?
I am breaking more and more code.
Sorry to cut you off, but this last month in real time has been full of new information. Has it?
Yes.
Have you been receiving popping inspirations for the last few weeks?
An incredible one that people are going to hear about first on your show.
Hurrah! Well, that's because we deserve it.
Take people to the outer limits.
That's right, and beyond. What is that thing? It's not I deserve it. What is it? That hairspray thing, because I'm worth it. That's right. Because God, that's how out of the commercial index I am. I can't even remember these very simple phrases. Anyway, so yes, it's been really very, very busy popping off with lots of inspiration. So where has it taken you? I'm very interested.
We've been doing this for like 30 years. And do you remember when you're working a jigsaw puzzle? When you get to the end and there's only like 50 pieces left, it goes fast and furious? Well, that's where we are. I run the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, and for the last 30 years, we have been collecting people's vocal prints. And people with this diagnosis, we put there in that pot, and this diagnosis, we put them over here. And now we have absolutely confirmed that people with like diseases and traumas and psychologies and syndromes all have similar, if not identical, vocal anomalies. And that means that their voice isn't like a wonderful song. It has all these sour notes in it. And so now we're able to bring in someone's voice, like we just did Hillary's voice, we just did Donald Trump's voice, and we're able to show where they've been, where they're going, and what's happening. And there's so many people jumping on our bandwagon now. MIT has just tried to take over some vocal analysis with PTSD for the Army. And we did that, yeah, I think, in 2013, maybe 2010. Been a long time ago. And they are just now starting to use that and say bioacoustics is now the medicine of the future. The idea of bioacoustic life sounds, and life sounds, I mean, there's many life sounds. You can smack your lips and do some vulgar sounds, but your voice is the number one thing that we're looking at as a holographic representation of your brain. And so in this past month, which has just been going crazy, we have broken the code of cortisol, which makes us fat around the middle, and what people can do that with that. We have put out the Zika antidote frequencies. We've opened a portal so anybody can jump online and do this for themselves. And we have looked at something that the U.S. is ignoring, but England has jumped on, and that's Lewy protein disease. Last November, we went on the Joyce Riley show, and it was the day after Robin Williams had killed himself, and they said, oh, it was depression, blah, blah, blah. I said, I don't think so. We looked at his vocal print about a year ago, and he has Lewy proteins, and Lewy proteins are like things in your brain, toxins that aren't supposed to be there, and we found out sort of why they're there. And we're going to talk about Monsanto with that. But we said on the show, we think he had Lewy proteins, and they sort of poo-pooed that idea. But the next day, his wife announced that he had Parkinson's. And Parkinson's have Lewy proteins. And then just recently, she announced that he had Lewy protein disease because they have separated the dementia and the Lewy proteins and the Alzheimer's and the Lewy proteins into a disease by itself. And a lot of this is coming out of England. LBD, Lewy protein disease.
Well, as I said, I'd never heard of this until you demonstrated tonight. And my reaction was, Sherry, if you can remember.
No.
It was like, that's not a disease, that's a poison by some Monsanto product.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you said. And Stephanie Seneff has said that glyphosate, which Monsanto is putting on its fields to kill weeds, and not only that, when they begin to harvest, they spray this stuff all over to kill all the green stuff so they can grab the wheat and the soybeans and whatever easier. And one of the things the glyphosate does, the poison, the toxin, is absorb itself into the lectin, the outside covering of these seeds that keep these, like corn, from being digested when you eat it. You've seen cow patties with whole grain corn in it. It's just stuffing for them. They don't really digest it. But that's the way the seed gets dispersed with birds and humans and whatever else. So the glyphosate is breaking into these lectins, and when we eat them, the lectin was supposed to protect the seed, and it's giving us leaky gut and leaky brain. And so glyphosate getting into the brain may be the cause of these toxins. So here's the toxin in the brain, because the brain barrier has been broken by these pesticides and whatever. And so here's a little, I don't know what you would call it, a protection, a little cyst of some kind growing around this glyphosate, and we're ending up calling that a Lewy protein or a tau protein, a protein that's in the brain that's causing a blockage that isn't supposed to be there. So you are absolutely right. We've been talking for 2 hours, so I did remember that. I just couldn't bring it up.
But yeah, I mean, So here's the thing. We have all of these apparent diseases that are apparently modern diseases. For instance, these things, they attribute to various other causes, but it's essentially methanol poisoning from aspartame, another Monsanto product.
Yeah. Well, here's something about cortisol.
Tell me you something know, about cortisol, Sherry.
You know, all this weight we're getting around the middle, and it just seems like we're ballooning, but just in the middle. We found the antidote, which is about 30 letters long, for cortisol, that silences cortisol. Now, back up a second and imagine a little cell in your body, and it is calling out for something, and it calls out by a frequency. It doesn't call glyphosate to the cell, doesn't call unnatural things. Whatever you need that the body knows about, like calcium, is called into a cell when the cell is damaged or traumatized in some way. And it does it by signaling a frequency, not sending out for a word, let's send out for calcium. No, let's send out for this note of E, which is really a frequency around 20 cycles per second or 40 cycles or 80 cycles, depending on what octave you're going to be in. So it's sending out for this thing. And what blocks it and is exactly the same frequency is aspartame. And you drink a Diet Pepsi or whatever you're drinking, or candy with aspartame. Almost all of us have had aspartame, if we're over 3 years of age, because it was in everything. It was in like 3,600 products. And they've now replaced it with sucrose, so we need to do some studies on that. So here comes this compound that quiets down cortisol, and its receptor sites already filled up with aspartame and or MSG. So here is this chemical that's supposed to be useful and very natural in your body that quiets down the cortisol, that keeps you from laying down all this visceral fat. And it can't get in the house because all these foreigners are in there, these artificial man-made aspartames and MSG. So the cortisol can't be controlled, because even though the aspartame is the same frequency, like maybe it's a 10, a very natural substance would make up a 5 and a 5, or maybe 5 twos, but this unnatural stuff is like a 9 and a 1, and that makes a 10. So it's a much stronger than the natural thing, and it stands there and fights and won't let the good stuff in. All of this artificial stuff, they're bullies. And so our bodies are just beginning to get polluted and in chaos because it doesn't know what to do with all the garbage and all the bullies that are in there.
Sludge.
Not allowing it. Sludge, that's a good
word. It becomes sludge. Okay, let's have a quick catch up. In the last couple of years, certain DNA activation strands have occurred in my own person, due to probably having to deal with different guests and hosts and all this stuff. Anyway, so one of the ability to project myself or my senses into something, so I can like feel something's texture at a distance, which is quite interesting. I don't do it deliberately, because you don't want to, you know. Some things you don't want to bloop into. Whenever I've done, there are some people who are just like so, overwhelmed by the world, and they're, you know, they're the people who've been like, eating burgers and all of this, you know, all the things that you've read as being, you know, that's going to kill you. So they've got all this stuff, and their body, yes, it is going to kill you, because we've ended up as a kind of sludgy mess full of antibodies and antibiotics and antivirals. What the heck's an antiviral? You know, and so how do you smooth out that sludge? And I've got more questions as well about, you know, how do we alter the nature of the human body so that it can heal and become fresh again?
Well, the first thing we want to do is find a natural, really strong antidote, and the one for cortisol is curcumin, turmeric. We match it by the frequency. This frequency equals that frequency, but they are competitive. Like if you look at some of our stuff for radiation, and we keep that software down on download on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and you'll see there's competitors for each of these things, and there's complements for them. And the one that we matched for cortisol is curcumin. Now, I bet there'll be a rush on that. Can you get that in UK?
Oh, turmeric, yeah. You can go to an Indian supermarket, and for a couple of pounds, you can buy an enormous bag, a kilo, for about 10 pounds, I would imagine. And that would do you well, wouldn't it? You mix it with honey?
Mm-hmm. Or you can make tea or put it in your soup. But one of the things, after I discovered the numbers matched, I went into the internet, and sure enough, it is listed as an antidote for cholesterol and dementia and several other things, but they don't tell you really how or why. We have figured out the math of it, but it also cautions you about taking too much.
Mm-hmm. So, but here's the thing. It's a frequency. So what about the color of turmeric, which is this lovely kind of mustardy golden yellow kind of color?
It would be a D sharp just by its color, but the frequency of it is an early F.
D sharp and early F.
Well, D sharp is the color.
Uh-huh.
That gold color, but the actual frequency of it, when we decoded it, is a very early F.
That's interesting. So just, it's in a similar zone, but it doesn't quite touch the E.
I guess if you mix the two together, the D sharp and the F, you'd get the E.
Hmm. So what's an E? What's the color of an E?
Yellow.
Yellow. All right. Okay.
Well, depending on your left or right brain, it could be yellow or this purple-blue, the opposite of it. And it depends on whether it's a physical issue or an emotional issue, because the opposite of E, the yellow, is blue by light and emotions, but it's like yellow and violet, like Easter colors, are opposites by pigment. So that would deal with something physically. You know, we have a course coming up, and we have a lot of graphs and charts and things for people. We have a free course, free, no matter where you are, free.
Really?
On the 8th and 9th of September, and it's going to be on muscles, and we're going to bring in inflammation and things like that, nutrition for your muscles, how to deal with cramps, how to deal with tired muscles, how to deal with fibromyalgia. And we're going to provide the software to people. We're going to provide them 30 days use of our online portal for free so they can jump on there and do it right online on any platform, whether it's going to be Mac or whatever other kinds of platforms there are. Most of our software itself is just PC, but it can be used on any computer now. So we'll give people who are listening to the show a 30-day entrance so they can go in there and play with all this free software and just see what's going to happen.
Can I have a quick geek moment? Has it been ported to Unix, or does it run under Wine?
It runs on anything.
Oh, very good. What language is it written in?
You know, I don't know.
C? Probably C.
Well,
it's pretty cross-platform, yeah.
Yeah, the background was C++, but that's...
Oh, well, in that case, yeah, there'll be C++, yeah. So that's good.
But we know that some people want it done for them. They want to call us up and give us a vocal print and see what we can do with it. And some people want to do it themselves, for themselves. And some people want to set up a business and do it for other people. So we're trying to accommodate them. And we have well over 100 softwares, and people will have access to every software that we have, depending on their level. There's an entrance level, sort of a get your toes wet, and that's NanoVoice, which is available on our site now, but we have increased it. It used to be you'd get 3 or 4 paragraphs, now you get 3 or 4 pages of information. We're putting up secret systems, putting up Perfect Partner. I can't remember the others that they're putting up, but those should be available very, very soon. The address, if you want to put it in the chat, is Sound Health Portal, P-O-R-T-A-L, at gmail.com. And at the apprentice level, you don't have to have done any of our courses. But if you want to work online, take this freebie course that's on the 8th and 9th. And it's not an easy course. I mean, we really work you. It's 10 to 4. What's that? 6 hours a day for 2 days. And you learn like 6 softwares, and we really put you to work. People think, oh, free, can't be any good. Go read about some of the people who've taken this course, and from there they walk out and they can set up a business making $30 to $50 an hour helping other people at the same time. We are a nonprofit 501c3 U.S. federally registered nonprofit. And our goal is a bioacoustic center in every community, because I am ticked off at the U.S. government. I am ticked off at the pharmaceutical companies. Did you hear this stuff about the EpiPen and what they've done with it?
Gouging. Literally. Literally gouging.
Taking it from about $100 up to nearly $800. We can do that with sound. We've already tested it. People don't have to buy those EpiPens. And if we have some other people that'll help us test it, we can get it on the market.
You know what would be really cool? Finish your thought. I've got some thoughts.
Well, it would just be wonderful. They buy their little machine. They carry that around with them. And they don't have to buy this stupid EpiPen, and we can go up yours. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
How
up yours, drug company.
How about a VibraPen, or a VibraPen, okay, and the pen either sends acoustic pulses like your vibrator in your telephone, or it sends pulses in light into your nervous system that is the frequency that you need for the appropriate medicinal shot. And I could make a fountain pen size thing that would do that.
Well, we've tried putting the electrodes directly on the skin.
No, not with electrodes, but with light.
Okay, but wait a minute. Hmm. We can't get the exact shade we need with light. And one of the other things, if people hear it, it works almost instantly. Now, the ear is the very first organ of development in uterus. And so we don't know if, because there's that close connection, if the ear hears it, it's an instant reaction. And with an EpiPen, you've got to have an immediate reaction. We've used it for bee stings. We've used it for nut allergies. We've used it, one of our neighbors here, she was exposed to 409, and we live up in the corner of 3 counties, and we're 50 miles away from any hospital. So she was going to die, and we didn't have anything else we could do. So we started putting this epinephrine sound on the sound box, and she came out of it.
So could you record a YouTube so that in emergencies people can call epinephrine sound and play it to people who are, in danger?
I would love to do that, but it would be digital. And what we use is analog sound. Mm-hmm. I bet we could get some response from digital, at least if they don't have any other help. I mean, yeah. If they're going to die or use sound, let's see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if people would send me their experiences, then we could put all of this together and see what would kind of happen. I would love to get it on emergency, what do you call them? Emergency ambulance.
Yeah.
To see if it would work.
Well, we have a science fiction TV show here called Doctor Who. Have you ever heard of it?
Love Doctor Who.
Well, you know Doctor Who has a sonic screwdriver, doesn't he?
He has a lot of weird
his
things.
His only weapon. It's not even a weapon. It's a sonic screwdriver. And it can emit a sound in any frequency. That's his only tool, the sonic screwdriver. And I'm thinking, you could make one of those. And not only it would be epi, you could just have any program.
We could put on there the frequency.
And
we
you
know
could
that
connect
with a heart
it with,
back.
You could connect it with a Bluetooth to your mobile phone and a little app and dial up the medicine you need, and you just stick it in somebody's ear and beep, and there you go.
If we could get it so it wasn't digital, but we have sounds that will help with blood pressure. We have a sound that we know will put your heart back to rhythm. We have a sound that we know will set a bone and cause it to quit aching. So we could just have a little sonic apothecary pen.
Yep, absolutely. Now, to that end, somebody, actually, because I've been moaning, I moan about everything on my shows because I've got nothing else to talk about sometimes, and I just moan. You know, and I've got these, what do they call them? Bone spurs? It's just little, I had a bike crash 30 years ago, and the fragments of my broken pelvis have finally made it down to my feet. And they're very painful to walk on. I can't walk. So somebody was suggesting that since you managed to manifest your son's kneecap back into reality, is there a frequency that can unmanifest bone fragments out of reality?
We don't know, but we would try it. And actually, the bone frequencies, these are frequencies that are 2 and 3 sounds put together.
Mm-hmm.
But send me your vocal print. Well, you know how to work on this. Jump on the portal and do your own stuff.
Okay.
When bone spurs in the feet, when there's a misalignment, we know those frequencies. But I don't think I've ever worked on something where a piece of bone migrated. But I'll bet some of our practitioners have. We have practitioners around the world, and I just jump on and say, has anybody worked on this? And then they send me the case study, and then we can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
That seems awesome. Wouldn't you love it if everybody could just do this and go on and it says, okay, tomorrow this muscle is going to be a problem. Take this frequency now. Or a migraine is starting to manifest. Let's do this frequency. Or you need vitamin C. Let's make some carrot soup. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because we can also do predictive medicine.
Indeed, and preventative medicine. Now, how do we move from this, like, defensive position, essentially? You know, we're fighting off diseases and all that, into a proactive health. Is it possible to do that without having to, like, stuff yourself with loads of stuff and pills and regimes and this and that? How do we just live and live healthy? Is that possible?
I think it is, but if we could eat clear, clean food and water and start there and allow our body not to be in such a state of stress and having to fight off this stuff all the time, I think that is a place to start. And one of the places I want to start is with the knowledge that we have, take it to the people who don't have the answers. When we first started working with fibromyalgia, nobody had the answers for fibromyalgia. Now we do, because we can get rid of the pain, and we backed it up. And fibromyalgia, if somebody wants to look it up, is really adult Still's disease, ADULT-STILLS, if you want to look it up. And it's an immune disease. And if you look at it, the symptoms of fibromyalgia and adult Still's are nearly identical, except there's some spiky fevers with adult Still's, but fibromyalgia people never hardly report that to you, especially if you've got these fevers at night and wake up with them. It's probably adult stills. We just need to combine the pieces. If I can get three or four pieces of a disease, I know the math that will put the rest of them together. And I'd like to get in touch with these people in the UK who were doing these experiments with this Lewy bodies protein deposits, Professor David Byrne, clinical director at Parkinson's UK, consultant neurologist and director of the biomedical research unit in LBD at the National Institute of Health Research. Another one is specialist Ian McKeith, professor of old age psychiatry at the Newcastle University Institute of Aging. So if anybody can get in touch with those people, let them know what we're doing and we'll send them what we have and we'll set up a project. You know, math as medicine gives us much more information than math as pathways and compounds, because the math, you can see what the missing piece is mathematically, where you can't always do that when you're just looking at the compounds. So we want to share this with people. Actually, I've been doing this for 30 years. I want to give over the body of information that we have collected. I have asked MIT if they want it. They won't even answer me. There's another French company called Sunday Health. I'd like to talk to them about it. They won't even return a phone call. It's like they think all I'm right. some kind of nutball.
That's but fine, I'm because 20. You have to do it. You know, because yeah. it's your baby. You know, I was talking tonight with Simon Parks, and he was talking about how his position has evolved, because like a few years ago he was saying, oh, well, people should be stepping up to do this. And he finds that he's the person who has to step up first. And, And I've said it to you for ages, that your database is your most valuable thing. And it's too valuable to be held back, really. And if somebody then buys your company, they can keep that then a secret. And then it'll be lost to humanity.
I want it to belong to the people.
So
to that end,
your information needs to be somehow spread so far and so plentifully that it can't be hidden ever anymore. Because
that's
what we're talking about, the whole ancient, all this, you know, Shari, we've probably been here before about 10,000 years ago. Let's just say that.
Well, I have some proof of that. Are we going to go to commercial at the bottom of the hour?
At the top, usually, we have, do you want one now? Do you need a quick break?
No.
Okay.
No.
Keep going.
I just didn't want to start something and finish it.
You've got enough momentum.
Sylvia Franck wrote a book, The Tree of Life and the Holy Grail, and she is, a British author, and she said in there that Shari Edwards is a keeper of the modern Holy Grail information that came down through the Templar lineage. You know, and that explains so much to me, because I used to be, teaching at Georgetown to this, 800 doctors in a group, and one of the doctors had asked me something, and I think, I don't know the answer to that. And my mouth would start answering it, and I'd be over there in the corner watching my body answer this question, and I would say, gosh, that's really interesting. I gotta go write that down and check it out. But I thought I was totally schizophrenic and bonkers doing that until Sylvia Franck, F-R-A-N-K-E, wrote this book and named this and talked about how the Templars were a part of the Catholic Church. They were a sect that was responsible for the safety and well-being and wellness of all of the people in the church. And they were so giving and so loving that people donated land and everything to them, and they became very rich. And King Philip got very jealous of them, and he decided to burn them, a lot of them, at the stake, burnt their feet off and made them recant, and sort of a double-edged sword. If they recanted, he killed them, and if they didn't recant, he killed him anyway. So, and it talked about that and some of this Rudolf Steiner work, and how that deals with healing and expansion of consciousness. But I was totally convinced that I was just crackers, and because I knew things I didn't learn. And Sylvia says that these Templars somehow imbued the knowledge into the DNA of the people, and that some of it is still hidden in England, and talks about some of the churches there where they hid some of this information. But this is bigger than me. It belongs to the people, and I'm doing my best to see that it's going to be gathered back up and preserved and provided back to the people. And that's why we do all these classes. I mean, what company in their right mind would give two-day workshops, including the software, for years trying to get people interested in this and taking it to their community? It's just nuts financially to do this. My last paycheck was in 2013, so I've been working for years for no payment whatsoever, so we can provide this information to people. And we want to reach everybody, and that's why we go on your show.
That's right, and that's why I promote you, because I totally saw it 20 years ago, and I still see it, and I know that it's going to continue, and it's going to grow. And one day, we'll all know. And you see, the thing is that very much along the same path, we are learning the secrets of frequency, which is the Templar, as you say, the Templar secrets for years and years and years. So either we were Templars, or we're heretics, but who cares? This is what we're doing right now, because it's necessary. It's necessary to happen.
We have some kind of open channel to some other dimensions, and I believe there are dimensions right here in the same space as we are. If you take your hand and you move it really fast, you really can't see how many fingers you have. Like a fan blade, you can't really tell until you blink and know if there's four or five fan blades. And it's because it's out of your sight spectrum. There are things that are out of our hearing spectrum. That's how all of this came about. I hear things out of the normal range, and I was hearing these sounds from people, and then we just computerized all of it. But I think just as there, you know, there's a physical desk here, but I think here also in another dimension, vibrating at a different rate, there might be an Indian teepee and a rocket to outer space and Cherry Garcia ice cream factory over here. It's all here, but it's interdimensional. But that's just my thing, and it's my thing because I've seen it and I've walked in those other dimensions, and it's cool.
Have you ever seen a TV show called Fringe?
I don't think so.
All right. You might be interested. There's stuff about that. It's about fringe science and interdimensional communication. That there is, and have you ever heard of this thing they call the Mandela effect? The idea that Nelson Mandela died at a different time than everybody else remembers it, and that there are different spellings and things.
Oh, like we're here in different dimensions doing different things.
That's one example of why the Mandela effect might be a reality, is that there are dimensions and timelines. Have you heard of timelines?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So the idea that two timelines are merging, and one of them was where the Nazis won the war, which is why everything's kind of gone dark for a while. But it'll be fine now. I mean, once we've absorbed it, we just need to absorb it and harmonize it. And that's where you come in. Because there is, I mean, if you could say, you know, if I would say, you know, what was the thing that made the worst illness? It's essentially heartlessness. Everything that takes you away from your heart, what do you think?
I believe it from your heart, if you're talking about your feelings and your consciousness of what's right.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. And every time we act heartlessly, we kill a little part of ourselves and we make ourselves ill.
Well, do you think maybe some people are heartless because they're fearful?
Oh, very much so. That they're out of their heart because they've been forced out because of coercion and violence and trauma.
I like people around me who are present and aware every moment, and people just don't seem to be there. We just had a tremendous embezzlement. Some people came in and did a lot of forged checks. And it was so incredible how we found it so quick. But these people, like you say, were heartless because to forge checks, that many of them, and put us under was sacrificing something that was great for humanity. And they didn't care. It was drugs that they were involved in. They didn't care as long as they got their little selfish fix and jabbed it up their arm. Can I tell you the story of how we discovered this? Because it's
Please.
Absolutely incredible.
Because I love the way you discover things. Because it's just, wow. Go ahead.
One morning, really early, I got this email from this guy, and he loved his cat. And I don't think anybody would care if I tell you the cat's name was Bunky. And he sent me a picture of the cat and said, there's something wrong with my cat, and, you know, the cat can't talk. So this all started with me being able to hear these sounds. So I just fell in love with this cat's picture. And, well, most animals I do anyway. So here's early in the morning, and nobody's up, and I'm all by myself. And I just asked God for the sounds for the cat to help it. And I did them, and I sent him back to him. And he said, well, we need to get the sounds, and how much do I owe you? And I said, absolutely nothing. God gave me the sounds, and I have a different definition of God than most people, and I don't charge to do animals. So a week goes by, and he wrote me and said, did you get the thank you note and the donation? And I said, no. And I went to talk to the bookkeeper, and this is the lady who did all this stuff. And I said, I want to know about this thank you note that was addressed to me. She said, oh, I opened it. And I said, well, I want to see it. And he said he sent me $200, and I want the money. I want to see it. And she had taken the money and didn't have it. She had faked a $60 deposit and took the rest of it. And I really pushed her about this. You know, she sent cash through the mail. So many things she wasn't supposed to do. And she wrote two more checks the next day, forged them to herself. And we caught them because she shredded them. And we shredded where she was practicing my signature. And we were able, because of that cat and that wonderful man who sent us $200 that I really needed to help a neighbor, because of that cat, we were able to catch this so early that they only got about $3,000 out of us. But they had done it in the last 10 days. Now, did the universe send this ill kitty to me? If I'd have been selfish and not helped the kitty, would it have been a parallel universe? But isn't that a neat story that
somewhere, yes, maybe there's the dark universe where the bad Sherry is finally making her last bad mistake.
You know, sometimes
but it's unlikely. Listen, you're gorgeous. Like, keep go ahead.
Sometimes I think I have done so much bad in the last centuries, and that's why I have to work so hard in this one. And when I had that idea in my head, I resented working for no money. I resented the people who were takers and wanted more and more and more. And when I turned it around, that I get to be this person that's doing this, there's so much more joy in my life to get to be the radio that delivers this to the world. It's just a totally different perspective of how this works.
And people send you stuff, don't they?
Yes, they
send
they
you art, and they send you T-shirts and hats and sweaters and, you know, just, it's brilliant, and socks and, you know, thank you to everybody who has, in fact, sent me T-shirts, socks, art, and the last one was this mosaic. You can't see it at the window, at the dark, the light's not on, but, beautiful mosaic of a wolf barking at the full moon there. So it's just, it's a really delightful thing to kind of sending stuff out just week after week after week after week. And knowing that that's what Jesus says when he says, cast your bread upon the waters, you know, just keep doing it. And it'll eventually start rippling back to you, because that's the law of the nature. It just does it, doesn't it?
I try to give something away every day, just to share with people who appreciate it and need it more than I do. So I really like that aspect of my life too. But I don't need much. My next birthday, I'm 70. I have most of what I need. Food is probably the only thing that, food and water that we need constantly here. But everything else is taken care of. So it's just kind of a neat thing. And all the money that comes out, and we use it for research, or we use it for scholarships for people. Because this really needs to get out to the world. And, you know, people send me some strange things. A China doll, a nested eggs of doll, because they say, I saw this and it belonged to you and you need to have it. I used to think crystals had a life of their own, and I never saw a crystal on anybody that wasn't crying. But I saw this nun with a crystal, and it had a silver hand around it, and it was like it was offering it to you. And I looked at that crystal, and that crystal was so happy. Mm-hmm. And it was on the throat of a nun.
Mm-hmm. In a place of grace.
Yes. And it was just absolutely awesome. And after spending 3 days there with these people, this nun came to me and she gave me this little box, and she said, I'm told by the universe that this belongs to you.
Oh.
And it was that, I'm getting chills talking about it.
Yeah, I'm getting tears, but hearing it.
It was just such, the thing felt joyous. Mm-hmm. But my idea of God is all sentientness, all thoughts, all consciousness in one pot. All of us have a piece of that, rocks and turtles and trees and flowers. All of us have parts of that. And that in one pot is my concept of God. And my little part of that is keeping my little corner of the universe balanced with what I think and feel and do. And then somebody else doesn't have to come in and balance me. Or this neighborhood doesn't have to balance that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I just believe if we all came from our hearts, as you say, or consciousness, and did what's best for all concerned, then I think the world would be a better place. And we'll talk about politics in a minute. I open my day with, allow this day to be for the benefit of all concerned. And sometimes what happens for the day is not necessarily benefiting me. But that's what needs to happen for the people who I notice or who come into my world. Because I don't think you notice anything that isn't part of what you ought to be looking at. Well, that was my speech for the day.
Wow. Oh, that's great. So, yeah, well, I'll take a break in about 4 or 5, 10 minutes time. Now, where, yeah, crystals. Okay, crystals, excitement. I have, you know, on my website, when it works, my websites have been down for about 3 weeks, and I've been trying to thinking, maybe I should do it soon. Anyway, I've got these little crystal workshop things, and when I ask, I do communicate with the crystals, because the ones that I use are double terminated, and they have an in and an out sort of end to them, and a flow in them, and I always ask them, you know, do you want to be encased in this organite, or do you want to be wrapped up with this copper wire? And they just love the adventure of it. And I think I've had one or two that have said, oh, no. And you can really feel like, oh, no. And you say, all right, I'll put you down. And you know, and I'll pick another one. And so I go through them, and I actually ask the crystals, and the ones who are up for the job are just really excited about it. They just love it. They're really joyous.
Once upon a time, we put a little Korg piano tuner by a crystal. Well, we were trying to get the plant to talk, but a crystal was sitting there too. And at certain times of the day, that little piano tuner would go crazy, like something was talking to it. We finally figured out it was the crystal. And at that crystal, at certain times of the day, would give off a signal, and we could ask it questions. And it would be, okay, can this be your yes, and can this be your no? And it was fun.
And
are you speechless?
When did you stop doing that? And why do you not do that all the time? And why haven't you got a program that translates their little happy vibrations into speech? And when would you get this speech, the crystal speech? That's brilliant. You've just invented a crystal to speech converter. That's amazing.
You didn't even know
you did that.
I was trying to do plants, so I was just...
Were you trying to do the old Cleve Baxter job where, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. And do it by sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had a crystal inducer.
Wow. I never even thought of taking it that direction.
Because, how do you know if something's alive? It's vibrating.
And the only thing I know that doesn't vibrate is plastic.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can't hear energy out of.
Mm. Oh, have you come across Shunga yet?
Shunga, no.
Shungite.
Is that flippy?
No. It's a black material. It comes from Russia. It's there's a great big deposit. One only deposit. And it's carbon fullerene. You know what fullerene is?
Mm-hmm.
The 60 molecule buckyball. And it's the only natural resource of this stuff. We've been getting into it in a big way. And everybody talks about Shunga on Wolf's Rit. But we'll see if we can get you some.
That would be awesome. Or send me a picture.
I can show you some. It feels like almost like a plastic. It looks like to me, hang on, I'll show you some. This is a pyramid. The size, sort of hand, palm-sized pyramid that I'm showing you. Can you see that on your camera?
I can. It looks like obsidian kind of ish.
Yes, yes. This is obsidian. That's a polished obsidian ball. But there's shungite. Now, it's also got this very cooling effect. It draws things towards it. It draws toxins towards it because of the buckyball thing. It has this internal flow. Anyway, amazing stuff. And it's very good for helping with EMF. And
turn my microphone off a minute, would you?
Your microphone.
Turn it off. I hear the sound. I'm going to do it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wait a minute. So I'll mute you. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, got it. Let me see what kind of picture's inside. Because a lot of the times when I do the sound of something, I don't know if you're hearing me.
You're back.
The picture of what's inside it comes out in the vocal print.
Oh, that's amazing. You've got like, you're part dolphin, aren't you?
It seems so. I have a story. I was... I have two things that make me think I'm dolphinish.
Mm-hmm.
This comes up in, I don't have a camera, but it comes up, it looks like a weaving sort of thing.
Interesting.
I'll tell you a story about a dolphin. There was these people, I was in Sedona, and there was this advertisement that said they're going to make dolphin sounds, and nobody else in the world can make these dolphin sounds, and please come and hear this lady. And I went to hear her, and the sounds were like, whoa, boo, boo. And I thought, what silly crap. And as I was walking out, I'm going to take a picture of this and send it to you.
Uh-huh.
As I was walking out, the lady behind me said, oh, that was perfect. That's exactly what I needed to hear. And, you know, I'm thinking this is just silly garbage. So it's where people are that really makes a difference. And those judgments I have about these people who are saying they are dolphin people when it was kind of nuts. it just made me back off and try to appreciate things more. Okay, I'm taking a picture. Where can I send this to you?
Well, you can just drop it, drag it into this window.
Okay, so just paste it in there.
Yeah, Control V into the window if it's if you're getting a screenshot.
Oh, that doesn't look like it exactly.
Uh-huh.
That looks very rough from what it really is.
Oh, don't worry, it's made small, but when it comes back up to full size, it'll come across right. So just paste that into the chat room there. And then
it sort of looks like a weaving of some kind.
Okay. So and what frequency did you get?
Oh, let me go look.
Because we like technical, cuz you know, okay, brothers and sisters, quick ray thing. Sherry's rays are 125, which makes her a scientist. Even though she didn't go to college. Well, you did do scientific things, didn't you? I don't know if that's... I think I'm getting a blank screen on that. Looks just like a blank screen. I see. Yeah. Sherry, are you with me?
I am here. Yeah.
All right.
I went to college. I went to college in interpersonal communication, dietetics, curriculum and instruction, all kinds of things like that.
Right.
So nothing like scientific.
Not a hard scientist. That's you know what we, there's soft scientists, soft science and hard science we call them. You know, soft science is like the cerebral stuff about like psychology and philosophy and those things, and hard science is like mechanical engineering, like nuts and bolts and digits and measurable things. But
the 443.482.
443. How interesting. So there you go. 443 for Shungite. Very interesting.
I'll send you the peaks so you can look at those.
Show me the peaks. The wavelength.
Yeah, but this is how all of this started. Just me seeing something, hearing something. You know, my daughter ripped her leg off and just doing a sound to stop the blood, and my son crushing his leg and doing those sounds. If you average these, it's going to come out about 440.
Hmm.
But let me see if I can take a picture and just put it over there.
It's not 440. See, here's the thing. Carbon has a frequency of 12 or 6?
12.
And
12.01.
So if you base your G on a carbon 12, your A becomes something like 432. And that fits in, and 432 is 6 times 6 times 6 times 2.
Okay, look at the numbers, and if you average these, if you expand that, you can see a little peak at the top. My stuff's usually clearer than this.
No, it's okay. It's just the way it compresses it for the display, but I'm getting it nice and clear here. Abacus Q.
Yes. These programs and how to do this, they're all free on our website, thesoundhealthoptions.com. Just go to downloads.
Yeah.
And there's another thing there that is free if you want to open it. It says Zika. And we figured out all of the antidotes for these Zika mosquitoes.
Right. Okay, so let's hold that because we need to take a break now. And I need to make some more tea. And I'm going to play the very famous Andres Segovia with Recuerdo de Aranjuez or something. Everybody knows the tune. You just don't know what it's called. And indeed, welcome back. Yes. Now, for some reason, this thing is not opening automatically when the tune stops, so I have to go and click it, so there's a little delay. Good evening. We're here today with Shari Edwards. Now, you had a thought just before the break. Have you got the pin of that thought?
It was about the Zika virus,
Zika,
and I don't remember.
Zika, indeed, yes. You had not started it, so...
I don't remember how it came up, except maybe the government trying to scare everybody. And it causes, or they say it causes, birth defects. And it's in Florida, and there's like 31 cases. And so we put together the frequencies, the antidote frequencies, and we did it in terms of the Rife machines. So there's so many more people who have Rife machines than have our machines. So if they'll look on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and we put these out every year as antidotes to vaccines for people who are forced to get vaccines and flu virus kind of things. So when we look at these strains, there's four virulent strains of Zika, and then there's some damaging proteins. So if you've been exposed, we put the muscle in there because the muscle will begin to ache first before you actually come down with the Zika virus. But there's the frequencies for everybody in terms of Rife. Now, Rife is great to kill pathogens and viruses. So we put the actual antidotes. So you can see one antidote there is 1647. So you could double that and double that and double that, and it still be the same frequency set, but just in a different octave. And in that case, that's variant one, and it competes with your estrogen, meaning your estrogen won't be accepted by the body because the Zika virus will take up its receptor site. And the nutritional antidote is glycine, and you can get that from many foods, and it's activated by caffeine. So if you're around the Zika mosquitoes, just refrain from caffeine, and it won't get activated, hopefully. So that's kind of how you read that chart if people are looking at it. But it can distress your iron, your ability to digest carbohydrates, your thyroid, your sulfur, and a lot of these things that we have decoded over the last few years, whoever is creating them have gotten very smart because the antidote for one is the cure for the other. I should say that opposite. The antidote for one is the instigator for the other, so we had to be very, very careful when we put out the 2015-16 flus, but you can find that on our site. It's under countervailing, and we put those out free every year for people who are forced to take these shots so they can have an antidote.
So also, do you do a sonic flu shot? There's a thing. Can you do a sonic flu shot?
Well, I'd rather go the other direction, and not give them the flu shot at all, but support their immune system, like their vitamin D and, vitamin C and all the quercetins and flavonoids. I'd rather support those than give him a sonic flu shot, because I don't want to instigate anything.
I always don't like the sound of being shot.
Well, we could give him the antidote to it. Yeah. But I wouldn't want to give somebody a virus.
But it might, yeah, you see, so you can't really give somebody a frequency until they're actually displaying, until their body is vibrating with it.
Yes, we can. It's almost like, prophylactically, there's a formula that you can give so the virus can never take hold. They have in these things something called hematoglutinin, to make the virus take hold of the cell more virulently. And grapefruit seed extract, even the frequency of it, will keep that strain from latching on. We have about 250 videos on Vimeo and YouTube. And just go look for the one about viruses or flus. And explains this. When we do a show, we do a Tuesday night show where we teach people how to do this. And it shows you some of the antidotes that can be used. And for any kind of virus, flu, bacteria, strep, staph, grapefruit seed extract is really good at killing those off. Now, when you look at these, it has to be very careful. We use Nutra Biotic, and we don't own any stock and we don't sell it, but that's the most potent kind. It's grapefruit, you know, the great big, grapefruit seed extract. And they chew the seeds and got the oil, and it made it so they could drink out of cow patties, holes, and still not get any diseases. So it's great stuff because it doesn't allow the virus, the real thing, what it is, the alive thing, to attach. The genome goes in, like you get exposed to the measles, it goes into the system, and when it sets up housekeeping, its byproducts is what makes you sick. So if you make it so it can never attach, then you're doing well.
Not welcome here, mate.
Yes, and we've done antidotes for shingles. I can't remember all of the different things.
Now, shingles. Our producer, Colleen, has been suffering from shingles for the last 6 weeks. Is there anything you can do for her pain?
I will send you the antidotes off air.
Yep, okay. I'll get Colleen in touch with you. I'll get Colleen in touch with you.
Got anybody with gout? We do really well with gout.
Gout? Any gout suffering? Here we have quite a good chat room tonight. We've got quite a good turnout. And if anybody's got any stuff, give us a shout out, and we'll see what Sherry's got. I think you've got quite a lot of stuff, haven't you? Nowadays.
Yeah. What we're really looking for are teachers and trainers that can train with us and then go out and teach this in their community. So that's our goal. That's why we teach the 2-day technician course and then allow you to come on the portal and do all your work there. And then we teach a 5-day professional course, and then we teach courses like how to deal with cancer with frequency, how to deal with overweight with frequency, and those kinds of things.
So, overweight. Right? And I've had this pet theory, this thing that I call the Nung. And you basically confirmed it to me the last time we had a conversation. It was like, yes, it's mold. Do you want to talk about mold in general and its, you know, its place in the world? It's got to have a place, hasn't it?
Well, I don't know if I have any expertise about this. I can send you a picture of what mold looks like in the chat. And if you want to describe that to people.
When you say what mold looks like, you're talking about the voice print of mold.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But it gets rid of all the old garbage and stuff. I think it overgrows in a lot of places where we don't have good balanced pH. Mm-hmm. But but we're looking at getting rid of mold in the body and through liver, through keeping the liver in good working order. And we have found things in people's system, like gout. Gout is a precursor to turning on the hibernation gene so that your body never gets rid of anything because it's expecting you to go into hibernation. I mean, it's that kind of thing that we've put together. We have bio-diet about neurotransmitters. We have bio-diet about hormones and finding out from all different directions. But the biggest thing that we're finding right now is fatty liver and a lot of these glyphosates and other things that are other toxins are causing the liver to lay down layers of white fat, and that in turn causes insulin resistance. So, I mean, that's one of our biggest programs that we have. We just did a whole series about diet and fatty livers. So we'll be repeating it again. And we also have a program called Guardian that people can join. And once a month we get together and have a 2-hour class. And if they want, we could do liver factors if people come up. I just sent you a picture of mold.
So, yeah, that's it. Right, okay, where? I can't see a mold. I can't see no mold. I can't see any new things.
Well, look at the, I sent you two abacus, two weight files.
Yeah, you got,
look at this. See all those little teeny increments that all look alike in the gray area? That's what mold looks like. That's the architecture of mold. We teach people to, one, take a sample of a voice and then to recognize the architecture. And that's the architecture of mold or some invading thing. Could be candida or something like that, but it's an invading monster that comes into the system.
So it's this, it's a high, what I would call, from sound engineering, a high frequency overlay.
Well, the mold is actually the little teeny increments inside the light gray area that you're
looking
at.
That's a high frequency. Little teeny means high frequency.
Well, I thought you meant the little high peak up there.
No. That's a high amplitude.
That peak, is Lewy proteins. And we didn't know what the mold was or what the mold architecture was until we started looking at leaky brain and glyphosates. So just another verification of the architecture that some mold or some candida or something like that opened the brain, opened the body for these Lewy proteins to be produced.
It's a case of there goes the neighborhood, really, once again.
Yeah.
Once the tears happen in the gut and the mold gets in, then, you know, they just invite all their mates.
Yep. And if you look at some of Stephanie Seneff's work, she is great. S-E-N-E-F-F. She's with MIT and she says the molds and the glyphosates and the toxins attack the mucus that is supposed to be running around cleaning up all the garbage and scrubbing everything. And the mucus becomes dead, and so nothing can get out of the body in a very efficient way that isn't supposed to be there.
In the chat room, Mona Lisa is asking, emphysema and heart failure. Now, I know personally, I know from my memory, that you've had definitely very good results with emphysema in the past.
Absolutely. It's a note to a D sharp and E, or E and B together, and it actually reconstitutes the lung tissue, which is totally impossible. And you look at COPD, and we do have a program called Checkpoint that has a lot of things in it, like GERD and COPD. And when you look at cardiopulmonary disease, taurine seems to be a commonality to it. And with heart disease, taurine helps rebuild the heart muscle. So look at taurine and just go on the portal and look at some of these nutrients, put in your symptoms, and it'll kick back to you what you need to look at, especially if you're at the technician level where you can choose the particular software that you want to use. And you don't have to buy the software. It used to be you had to buy every software that you use, but you get on the portal and you tell them which softwares you want to use, and you can buy like 6 at a time or 9 at a time to for this many uses, and it's getting closer and closer to where anybody can have access to any of the computer programs. We just did one on allergies for hearing, smelling, tasting. I can't remember the other one. We just did a new one on trigger points. I'm doing this one on Lewy proteins. We just did one on pain medication, so that you can match the right medication with what your body is perceiving as the problem. So we are constantly trying to upgrade all of this and get it to the people. And not only that, but to give people information about what's going on with other people. And we just did Hillary's health. You heard all that garbage about what's going on there. And we just turned around and did Trump's health too. If anyone is interested, or if they could take a guess about what they think's going on with either of those people.
Well, I'd say that Trump was rudely healthy, and apart from like overmuch indulgence, maybe a bit of gout, and Hillary was her body's breaking down, and they're trying to get her into a clone, and they're not, you know, she's not going.
Well, Donald Trump is not healthy, and he does have gout, so
all right.
That was good.
Good on the gout. There we go.
He has a fatty liver. He has cholesterol issues, although he's keeping them under control, it seems, with statins. But his liver is not functioning well. Now, somebody suggested something else I should have run him through, and I don't remember what it is, but I will do that. I don't think it was heart disease, but with this high of a liver factor, and it's 95, 20's high, and his liver factor is 95. So he really needs to do something about, well, I'm not allowed to say this. Let me back up. When people who have similar diseases, we look at their vocal prints based on a database, and based on the database, people with high liver factors and high cholesterol have very similar vocal prints to what you see with Trump. How about we just put it that way?
Let's just leave it like that, shall we? And
I know
how about Hillary? is her venom level like, can you measure how much venom she's like carrying at any one moment that she's, you know, just going to spit? Like, empty that whole bladder thing of hers. You know. No, sorry.
Somebody just sent me a message, and I thought it was you, but it disappeared off my Skype. So did you just send me a message?
No, don't think so. There is a message from Nick Rhodes, who asked Shari who she wants to contact at Newcastle University Institute of Aging. We have a collaboration with them. So, Shari, can you give out your email address so that Nick can get in touch with you?
Shari Edwards@gmail.com.
Shari Edwards@gmail.com.
Shari Edwards@gmail.com. What university did he say?
Newcastle.
In Newcastle, we say Newcastle.
In London, we say Newcastle.
It's Ian McKeith, McKeith. Professor of Old Age Psychiatry, Institute of Aging. That would be awesome.
Well, I'm sure, academic degrees of separation are much smaller. So we'll find. I'm sure you'll get in touch somehow very soon. Thank you very much, Nick. If you can act as a go-between and speed Shari towards Newcastle Uni, you never know. Might come over to England again.
I hate to fly. If they want to send my a private plane, I'm on somebody's list. They stop me. They poke. They prod. They in any orifice I have, they detain me for hours. I just don't like to fly anymore because they make my life miserable.
Oh. All right. Well, we'll figure out a way of teleporting you.
That, I want to do that. Okay, back to Hillary's health.
Meanwhile, back in horrible Hillary land. Well, don't people see, can't they, all right, okay, just before you go into her health, there used to be this legend that the shapeshifters could be revealed using a frequency. So, just bear that in mind while you talk about Hillary.
Ooh, could we find the frequency and let's do it.
Yeah. You know, I think, do you remember a couple of weeks ago there was these journalists and they all kind of shrieked at her and she completely freaked?
Yes, I have a picture of that on her report. And the report that I'm going to read is on our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and then in the news, I'm pretty sure it's in the news. I'm going to have to look because I can't remember. And then maybe under new articles. So there are two videos there, one with her in a red jacket, and a blue, there's a blue jacket too, that we looked at. And the blue jacket is the one where reporters are trying to talk to her all at once and she just went into a myoclonic seizure, it looked like.
Well, look, you know what the word heterodyne means, don't you? You do?
Tell me.
Oh, right.
Tell me.
When you mix two frequencies, you get that.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Okay.
Okay. I believe what those two women did, I think one was shrieking up, the other was shrieking down. One was going, ah, and the other one was going, ah, and both at the same time completely confused her. It put her into shock. Just momentarily.
Well, let me explain what her vocal prints had.
Let's see.
It had many references to myoclonic epilepsy. And that is epilepsy that just gives muscle seizures. And it comes from flashing lights or a lot of people trying to talk to you at once or a lot of conflicting things going on. Look it up. M-Y-O-C-L-O-N-I-C. This is from Wikipedia. Myoclonic epilepsy refers to a family of epilepsies that present with myoclonus when myoclonic jerks are occasionally associated with abnormal brain activity. It can be categorized as a myoclonic seizure if the abnormal brainwave activity is persistent and results from ongoing seizures. Then a diagnosis of myoclonic epilepsy needs to be considered. Now, when you look at the two videos I have up in this article, you can see in both cases, well, one case it's the head jerking and the other she just totally loses her train of thought. But when you look at her vocal print and compare it to other people and you look at where things happen, at present there is brain damage resulting from a stroke. Her brain scores are 89 and 98. And I did this twice because I couldn't believe it. So I call one of them the red jacket and the other the blue jacket. And they're announced here under red and blue. The other issue that she shows high score on is diabetes and arthritis. We found arthritis viruses in her system, and we also found a lot of diazepam, and we weren't looking for that. It says significant issues with the frequencies associated with dopamine, glutathione, copper, and choline utilization, matching Ronald Reagan's vocal graphs, are present. She has the same kind of Alzheimer's issues that came up in Ronald Reagan's chart. Indicators of insulin resistance are present. Many instances of arthritis bacteria, which may explain her struggling up the stairs. Now, the architecture, and this is in the article also, shows three people with Lewy proteins, and they match her file. And she did have tau proteins, T-A-U. The architecture of this chart matches Robin Williams, known to have suffered from Parkinson's and Lewy proteins. Tau proteins frequencies were present in Hillary's vocal architecture. And then just another lady that had a form of Lewy protein problems. But there is the references, there's the videos.
Okay.
You can just look at it.
Right.
In my, this is my opinion.
Your opinion.
Hillary does not want the job of President of the United States. She wants the title. Could this be an attempt to have more influence through the Clinton Foundation? These were done a month or so ago. So that was before all this stuff about the Clinton Foundation came up.
I imagine you'll find a lot more stress points if you measured her voice today. But just going back a bit, because what, you know, again, you brought up several things, and there was one little hair that was sticking out that was really interesting, and I've lost it now. It was one
the
of
diet, the
diazepam. That's the one. Yes, they she could, because Hillary is known to be murderous. She's like literally murderous. She broke, she will break her lampshade over you. It's said that she killed Vince Foster with the lampshade, you know, one of these big onyx lampshade things. Clubbed him to death with it. They had to cover it all up. There was a film about it. You know, everybody knows what a complete criminal she is and, people die if they know anything about her, you know. That's been another, we noticed there's been a real rash of like, knowing Hillary has been like a fatal disease recently for people.
Well, the last person who revealed her health records was murdered.
Yeah, yeah, it's really bad for your health if you hadn't know anything about, it's good that not many people listen to this and, that it's, very quiet because I want you to be very happy and healthy in the next few years to come. You've got a lot of teaching to do, Sherry, and I'm not going to let you get away with it. Okay?
Well, this is one of the reasons I put this out in this way. Our corollary at the center is that we have proven that people with like issues have like vocal anomalies. So if we looked at Hillary through, let me see how many lenses, neuroplasticity, which is how your brain's functioning, and its nutrients, seizures, heart, traumatic brain injury, diabetes, arthritis, Alzheimer's, stroke, and brain. So we ran her through all of this. Heart was only 12. That's insignificant. Traumatic brain injury was only an 8, but there's only about 30 things in there. And that was, did she have brain injury from a concussion or somebody hitting her or something like that, an acoustic blast? And the answer was no, that this came from a stroke.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so, okay, so stroke, diazepam, high pressure. Her eyeballs bulge out, and she can really throw a fit. But it's like her whole body's in it, and it's like, it doesn't like it. It doesn't enjoy the energy.
Well, one of the reasons we put it out that way is that we're not saying this by comparison to other people. This is what's coming up. And we did not deliberately look for diazepam, which is really lithium, and that's the pen that her keeper, you saw a picture in the news, that they were shooting her up with this diazepam. We weren't looking for it. It just came up in the vocal print.
Yep.
We look at 0 to 1,000 cycles per second, and we take 24 points out of all of that information. And twice diazepam came up in those 24 points. That seems very significant to me.
So,
do you want to hear a bit about Trump's?
Let's hear some. Is there anybody else that you've, who's that Green Party lady who seemed,
Jill Stein.
Jill Stein? What about the other one? he's got a widow's peak. He looks like member of the Munsters.
Gary Johnson?
No, Paul Ryan. But yes, Gary Johnson as well. He's got brown hair, hasn't he?
Yes, he's the Freedom Party.
All right. Okay. Well, what's going on for him? Is he infiltrated or is he straight up?
We're talking about Paul Ryan or Johnson?
Johnson and then Paul and then Ryan. Let's wheel them up, line them up, and knock them off.
Well, I have not done either one of their voices except just to listen. And Jill Stein is very naive in how things are going on. But she has a love of country, a love of people. She just doesn't have it together. And Gary Johnson is sitting back there as the voice of reason in the Libertarian Party. And I just don't think he has a chance. I don't even think he believes in himself. Jill Stein believes in herself. Like some of the other people that were running before, you could tell when they didn't believe. The guy that was a lawyer on TV, when he was running for president, you could tell he was going to drop out really soon because he had no belief in himself whatsoever, and I can't remember his name. He played on one of those Law and Order things.
He's that memorable.
Yeah, I would recognize his name, I guess.
All right, well, whatever. It was the him. Also ran, whatever. So next, who have we got? Yeah, who is that other? There was a woman, Elizabeth Warren. Is she? What's her E B flat ratio?
I think she is a harpy, and a bully, and would push through everything. I think she thought she had it made with Hillary, and then they didn't want two women on the ticket. But her presentation to Congress when she was saying, so what if a few people die from vaccines? That's the price of making everybody safe. I think that killed her right there. And you could tell that that was not her idea, that she was being paid to say that. It was not her words. And if you want to see something where the information is not their words, go to our Benghazi reports and look at Susan Rice, where she is repeating Hillary and Obama's information. We put out from the very beginning that Hillary and Obama were lying about this video. The day after they stood in that hangar with the bodies coming back, you could tell they were totally lying. And now they're just getting around to it where the families are suing her because she was lying. So we're like 2 years ahead of what's going on. But we have done so many things where we could tell what's going on before it ever happened. People ought to start believing us.
Well, that's why I have you on my show, Sherry, because I believe that your finger's on the pulse before the pulse is actually happening. As you see the pulse on the dimension before it manifests, and that's what you're seeing. That's why your research is 30, 40, 50 years ahead. You know, no wonder nobody gets you. They really don't. You know, it's only ETs who get you. It's like that's normal. You know, she's good.
We teach that to people, by the way, how to tell when people are lying. Jerry Sandusky's profile that's on our site shows you how to tell when someone's lying. Chris Christie was telling the truth when he said he was not involved in Bridgegate. So Joe Biden, we told weeks ahead of time that Joe Biden was not going to run when they had all that speculation going on. Just take his vocal print and you can see his heart and his soul wasn't in it.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want to be bothered.
Is he ill?
And when you look, he's not ill. He's just old.
Oh, yeah, just naked, yeah.
And just things breaking down. When you look at Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech, most of her speech is in the fantasy, non-reality, God level, which tells me that somebody told her she is going to have this position and she thinks she is absolutely entitled and she doesn't have to do much to earn it. And in Trump's speech, he comes out as a gunslinger who's going to do whatever is possible needs to be to get something done. You may not like his methods, although I think he's making some mistakes right now because he's really vacillating. But the biggest thing I see Trump doing, even though I don't like everything he says, he's going to help the veterans. He's going to get rid of the IRS. He's going to do some things that the Democratic people wouldn't do. I think it's disgraceful what's happening to the veterans. But when you look at his overall view, and he hasn't realized it yet, but I have written to several of his people, what people are hoping Trump is going to do is set America free. Free of tyranny, free of Obamacare, free of IRS fear, free of terrorists. That's what's going to happen, even though we may not like his methods.
Right.
I will go back and do Jill Stein and Gary Johnson just so we can have...
So, but the thing is, it, you know, say Hillary, the pressure cooker, the valve doesn't work, the one too many diazepams and like, and, you know, big thud. Do you think they'll wheel out clone number three and try and ensoul it and just run a, like a, literally a puppet president? Or, because what my feeling about Trump is that he's going to create a kind of natural opposition that will then collapse, leaving just Hillary, who will then die and then be brought back to life and be a messiah president.
Oh, good God. Why can't we just have some cabinet?
Sorry,
run the whole
sorry, thing? I've got a terrible sort of, you know, I've watched too many sci-fi movies about how this stuff all rolls out. But well, it's all, you know, it is possible, but there are antidotes, and this is where you come in, Shari.
Well, I probably would be able to tell by the difference in her voice what was really going on, because most of her voice is intellect. She has very little emotions whatsoever. Even when she was saying, oh, I love everybody. I am so grateful that I have this nomination. It was all intellect. It was just garbage. She wasn't being emotional in any way.
She was just
singing a song. Yep.
Just like she's been trained to do it.
Yes, but I think somebody has promised her the job and she thinks she doesn't have to earn it. I'm disgusted with her over Benghazi.
I just start off being disgusted by Hillary. If you think that's the tip of the iceberg. You know, that's the window onto the tip of the very, very large iceberg that is bigger than like your continent.
She could have stopped. She could have stopped it, and she wouldn't.
Oh no, no, she wants it. She's bloodthirsty.
Well, when you look at...
Actually, can you get that? Can you pick that up frequency-wise if somebody's got a bloodthirsty intent? I mean, I can certainly do it with the rays. There's a ray that shows certain, you know, the only solution to this is bloodletting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know. There is one note that Gaddafi had, mm-hmm. a very high note of B, where he said, my people love me, I will go to my death, and they killed him. But I just thought that was because he had an absolute martyr complex and was willing
to spill
his own
blood. No, that's a Piscean note, isn't it? B's the Piscean note, so that's more of a, I will sacrifice myself for my people. No, this is like, I will sacrifice people for myself.
So C-sharp or D?
Uh-huh.
Well, when you look at Obama, he has C-sharp, which is justice, but he has it in an octave that is totally naive and selfish. And then in order to kill somebody like that, I think people would have to have a lot of D note, that liver note, that anger note. So I would say C-sharp and D. What would a ray say?
Well, the D note... this is in the liver, so it'd be connected with the solar plexus, which is ray 6, and that's the bloodthirsty one. The ray 6 is like the overstuffed sausage energy. It's like there's a lot of stuff inside a very thin, delicate skin that can be easily ripped and it'll kind of burst out at you. That's the you know, the energy of the sixth ray. And that's the energy of the Piscean age. This is the whole, you know, if you look at the fractal of our last 2,000 years history, it's been bloodthirsty violence after bloodthirsty violence. Believe what I tell you or I hurt you.
Doesn't Louise Hay say the liver is suppressed anger, suppressed rage?
Yeah, absolutely. The rage. So we wonder about Prometheus, don't we? What pissed him off?
I thought that was your name.
We found some stuff. But that's another show.
But aren't you a gentle soul? Do your rays change?
Yeah. As you evolve, your rays change.
I was into this, cobalt Capricorn blue stuff for so long time, and now I'm oozed into violet. And it seems to me that my energy has become more peaceful as I move into that violet stuff.
Well, that's your moving more into your second ray soul. And you're probably finding you're letting go of facts and things like that and coming more into a kind of generalized understanding that can then be applied to a load of different situations.
Does that just come with age?
That can come with age. But it is to do with the breakdown of the concretion of the fifth ray personality. Because as the fifth ray personality really believes in itself, and but the soul has to get in somewhere and master it, or the fifth ray has to give up its complete control over things, as the soul comes in with spontaneous situations that just. Bam, from the left of the field, bam, from the right of the field. That's Uranus, and that's the Aquarian age. So,
I ask a personal question?
Many.
I am feeling like I have a need to serve, but on my terms, and it's never been on my terms before. So what's that transition?
That's the courage of the lion heart. We've been through the lion's gate recently, and you've had to stand up and face something that previously you couldn't face. Is that right?
It is.
So that's the passing through the lion's gate. And the lion is the courage, the courage, the rage of the heart. So when you get your liver working right with your heart, you use it as a motor to power your even compassion.
It took me through a lot of anger and, well, not rage, but anger and hurt and pain and backstabbing. What is the word
betrayal.
For that? Betrayal.
Oh, yeah.
To realize what was going on, but then to realize that the person didn't have the awareness to see it any other way.
No.
And to move beyond it, it's really opened up something in me. Sometimes people would ask me something and I'd do it and I didn't want to because they needed it. And now it's on my terms.
Yep.
And people are angry with me that I won't do what they say because I always have in the past. It's a freedom I'm loving.
Yeah, but the thing is, the anger that it doesn't matter to you either. You can be angry. Fine. Be angry. Show you, because it's actually showing you what not a nice person they are that they think they are. I'm such a nice person, but I'm going to get really angry with you because you've let me down. You've broken your expectations of that great being that I project onto you that you're not anyway.
Well, we had the reputation that if you called and yelled and screamed and made a fuss, we'd give in, and I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I
use this wonderful term. Don't make your problem my problem.
There's a bit. I have one, but I can't say it live on the air because it contravenes FCC rules. It's not very nice, but it's kind of like that. Yeah, that kind of sums up. Anyway, Sherry, we're here behind enemy lines. You understand that? They just don't get it, and they won't get it for a while, but they'll get it. And we might not be around, so we have to kind of leave it around in a way that they can get it, even if we're not around. Does that make sense? I just had to say that.
It does, and I'm working on it.
Good.
You know, every day I'm working on something that will help people not have to deal with the garbage of Big Pharma, F-A-R-M-A, and Big Pharma, P-H-A-R-M-A. This study we've been doing about lectins, and lectins are like grains and lentils and beans. The glyphosate, and if we leave people with one thing that's really strong that they need to know about, when they spray Roundup or glyphosate on a field before they pick the grain, they spray it on the actual food stuff, and it changes the DNA of these lectin coverings and make them permanent. We started with this right in the beginning. So if people could sprout their grains, quit eating grains, I think this brain barrier and gut barrier would start to regrow back, particularly with threonine, which is an amino acid that really helps the cholesterol lay down and create that barrier again. That was one of the things that I wanted to leave people with today more than anything else. Is just go look up that word, L-E-C-T-I-N, and maybe Stephanie Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F, and see how you are being poisoned for a dollar, for the almighty dollar. And Big Pharma spraying your wheat or lectins or whatever to make you sick, in cahoots with Big Pharma, P-H-A-R-M-A, to keep you sick. And if you're sick, you can't fight back and you can't think. And you become docile and a sheeple. And I think that's, they couldn't get rid of us just by trying to fool us because we were smarter than that. So they're trying to get rid of us by attacking our food sources and our body and our medicine. So if we can leave people with that idea, I would be happy for tonight's show.
That would be great. And so, coming into the last 5 minutes, we'll be going over to the World Healers at the top of the hour. It's been I got tears coming out of my eyes. I don't know why. I think, you know, you get very impassioned, and the passion that you speak is not about, and it's the passion of the heart. It's a heartfelt passion. You know, you're not passionate about, you're not angry about someone who did you wrong. You know, it's about making the world a better place, and I honor you for that. And thank you very much for once again coming on to Ever Beyond and sharing your amazing research, knowledge, wisdom, past life experiences, all these things.
You are most welcome. I'd like to remind people to join us on the 8th and 9th, and they do have to pre-register because we only have so many seats and we have to get you your software before class. So just go to soundhealthoptions.com and go to classes and go to 2-day. There's many lessons there. There's textbooks. There's downloads. If you're feel like you've been radiation poisoned, that software's there for you. I think there's PTSD software. No, it's muscle software you can download. So if you have fibromyalgia or something like that, or running a sports team, we try to give you enough software to get started and then train you with the rest of what we do in hopes of spreading the word. 100th monkey, 1,000 monkeys, 1,000,000 monkeys. you know that story about 100th monkey?
Oh, yeah, the potatoes washing and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's how we spread a morphological field around humanity. One person gets it, everybody gets it.
That's what we're trying to do. So the more people that come into the family and we can train them and give them the information, the bigger that morphogenic resonance become, the more people know about it, and the less we are under the thumb of someone else. I love this idea of self-health and self-responsibility.
And with that, Sherry, my dear Sherry, thank you so much for coming on. And again, it's an honor, a pleasure, and a delight to always have you on. I'll see you soon. Thank you very much.
Yes, we'll talk later. Thanks.
Thank you. Beyond.